Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Piercing the pre-dawn skies, the space shuttle announces its arrival at the launch site with its signature sound of twin sonic booms having gone subsonic for the last time. The pre-flare maneuver executed. Landing gear down and locked. Main gear touchdown. Hurley now deploying the drag chute. Ferguson rotating the nose gear down to the deck. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
Well, today a piece of history flew by the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was lucky enough to see it. I stood there with my son on the end of a point with a few guys who worked for Comcast, and we all watched the last flight of the Endeavour atop a NASA 747. And what struck me is that Obama destroyed NASA with the stroke of a pen without any debate in Congress. This single communist from Chicago destroyed the most advanced exploratory institute in the United States of America. And America doesn't even understand what this man has done to this country. At the same time that he destroyed NASA, he sent his front man, Panetta, to China, who got on his hands and knees, virtually on his hands and knees, and said to the People's Liberation Army, don't worry about America. The Obama doctrine is hands off China. You know, when I was a kid, of course, we all went to high school. I had to study for exams. There was a history part of that exam, and I remember I had to learn what the Monroe Doctrine was. I didn't like history very much, but I remember I had to memorize the Monroe Doctrine. It was named for a president who said to Europe, hands off the Western Hemisphere, it's ours. You can no longer come and tamper in the Western Hemisphere. We're strong, we're powerful, we're America, and we will repel you. But the Obama Doctrine has not yet been articulated. Not by Romney, certainly not by the drugged media. But there is an Obama doctrine, and the Obama doctrine to the world is hands off the communist world, hands off the Islamist world, or live and let die. The vacuum of U.S. power in the world today is at an all-time high. Not since we were a small colony have we been this weak. Whether you know it or not, the attacks on 9/11 in Libya and the attacks in Egypt were carefully planned by the Islamists that were helped in power by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, George Soros' money. It's astounding how he gets away with this and how it falls upon a few voices in the wilderness like mine to remind America what has happened to this country under this con man. But it's not just the con man who conned his way into the presidency, is it? It's about a con man who not only conned his way into the presidency, but is hoodwinked wiser men in the Democrat Party into believing that he actually cares about America when he doesn't. This man has a hard left agenda. He has permitted not only the communists to thrive around the world, but the Islamists as well. The attacks that occurred on 9/11 were very shocking. They killed an ambassador, and the Fugazi in the White House had the nerve to say that it was a result of a YouTube film and that he would track down the perpetrators. Well, what has he done to the perpetrators? It occurred quite a while ago. He hasn't even found them, has he? He was on to fundraising 10 minutes later. No, the vacuum, the strategic vacuum in the world, and particularly the strategic vacuum of the Obama doctrine in the Middle East, caused by a withdrawal of U.S. global power, which is the left-wing agenda, is the reason that we had the initial attacks against the U.S. embassy in Cairo and the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. But there were other clear indicators that were coming. And this is only the beginning. The Islamists in Iran have attacked our banking infrastructure over the last few days. In fact, if you had trouble withdrawing money from the Bank of America or several other banks, it's because Iran has invaded the bank's computers and is trying to cause havoc in our banking system. Yes, this is all a result of the Obama doctrine. And the question must be asked then, how come the American people are so stupid that they don't even understand this? And there is an answer. There is an answer. The culprit, of course, is the media. We know what they are. We know where their sympathies lie. We know that they're in the pocket of the Democrat Party. But there is another reason that he's getting away with this, and that is Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's weakness is so apparent to me, it's shocking. Mitt Romney is like a nun candidate, which is why he's hovering in a near tie with the worst president in American history, the worst economy in modern American history, the worst foreign policy in American history. And here we have a so-called Republican hovering in a near tie with Obama. And why? Because Romney is not getting out front and attacking Obama. He's sitting there in a passive manner, mumbling about topics that have no meaning to the average American. He's going over old ground, he's playing catch up, and he's playing defense. Now, I can ask you questions, but basically I just wanted to give you my monologue today. As I watched the shuttle flying over the San Francisco Bay today, went over the East Bay, then over Ring Mountain, then over the Golden Gate Bridge, I can't tell you I cried. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I'm that kind of guy. I didn't cry. I was stunned, actually. I was enraged. I'm not the kind of guy who gets emotional in that way. I was enraged that the American people are so dumb that they don't even understand that what they were watching was the end of our space exploration because of the communist from Chicago, Barack Hussein Obama and his hard left cronies. Do I have to name them for you? They have withdrawn America from the world stage. So as I say to you, when you were in high school, maybe you had to learn various things in history, including the Monroe Doctrine, where when America was still growing in its power, the Monroe Doctrine was created, and it was named for President Monroe, and it was, stay away from the Western Hemisphere, it's ours, you Europeans don't come here. The Obama Doctrine is the Monroe Doctrine in reverse, and I'm the first one in the media to tell this to you. The Obama Doctrine is the reverse of the Monroe Doctrine. It's not hands off America. It's saying we'll take our hands off the communist threat coming to us from China. We are going to take our hands off the Islamist threat coming out of the Middle East. In other words, live and let die. Please don't hurt us. That is the Obama Doctrine. That is my opinion. The phone number here at the Savage Nation this Friday, September 21, 2012, is 1-800-449-8255. And now we go to some Rock and Roll Friday where we await your calls. Let's have a little Speedo to speed up the message. You know, you guys who are younger than me don't know how great it was to live in America when we had men, real men, running this country. Men who were not afraid of the third world vermin. I have no idea what it was like to live in a great nation, because you've grown up living in a nation that's basically got a begging cup out to the world. If you'd like to call this show, I pity you. It means that you're as agitated as I am. And, of course, the phone number is already up there, 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Houston, Texas. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. What provokes this call today?
Dr. Savage, yesterday I was sitting in my office on the 22nd floor in Houston, Texas, watching as our freedom was flying away in front of our eyes. We watched the NASA shuttle fly in front of our building, and everyone within our office complained about how this president has ruined this country and is now going to force us to put our men, our engineers and our scientists on Russian rockets to get into space. It's just unbelievable.
In other words, yes, Obama symbolically has put our astronauts at the back of the bus.
That's absolutely right.
You hear how I put it? In other words, what Obama has done with the stroke of a pen, he should have been impeached for this, in my opinion. The man should have been impeached for what he did to NASA alone. But look, I'm one man. I have no power. I have no influence. I have no organization. All I do is speak and write books. I wrote about this. I screamed from the bottom of my heart and trickle down tyranny. I wrote a whole chapter on it. And what we saw happening was astounding. I could not believe it. But today when I saw the Endeavor fly over on its last flight, going to a museum in Los Angeles, by the way, because the vermin in San Francisco wouldn't have it here, like they wouldn't have an aircraft carrier here, and that also had to go to Long Beach. You know, they're too busy promoting their agenda of whatever it may be here in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. As you know, Nancy Pelosi's values include whipping people in public and screwing in public. That's Nancy Pelosi's values. Nevertheless, I could not believe what I saw. The man destroyed NASA. He put our astronauts on the back of the bus, meaning they have to fly at the back of the Russian shuttle. What does that tell you about this communist from Honolulu? How much do people have to understand? And where the heck is Romney? Will he stop being this patsy is what I keep screaming. I'm sure you feel the same way about Romney, don't you? He's gone already. That's all. It's Friday. Why should I care? Why should I care? Why don't I just go down with the ship like everybody else? Huh? You want to talk about any topic? It's open mic to Mike Friday. You want to talk about Endeavor's last flight? The Obama doctrine? You want to talk about any of the news out there? Why Romney is not making any headway? Why he has no traction? How many times can he go on liberal shows? How many times can he cater to illegal aliens and spit in the face of the audience that he needs in order to become president, which is the Savage Nation audience? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round.
So today is an historic day, and to show you how far the media has fallen, I'm going to read you the headline from the San Jose Mercury News. Space Shuttle Endeavor provides once-in-a-lifetime moment above Bay Area skies. You read the article, and there's not one mention of the fact that Obama killed NASA, and the reason that it is being retired is because the president destroyed NASA. Destroyed the shuttle program. Instead, the idiots in the news business, this one written by Julia Sulek and Aaron Ivey, two fools who went to journalism school who came out not even understanding their job, their requirements as a journalist. All they talked about, people waving goodbye as Endeavor soared over the Bay Area. And what people said about it, about the retiring shuttle. Not one mention of the story. That we have a communist president who destroyed NASA and put our astronauts on the back of a Russian bus. I wrote about it. A couple hundred thousand people read it. Obama the Destroyer. The outset of this book I wrote, I describe Barack Obama as a destructive child who in his ignorance takes apart a watch and cannot put it back together. With regard to his reckless dismantling of our military, there's no quick solution to rebuild it. If and when this child president wakes up one morning and finds America under attack, it will be too late to start rebuilding what he has torn down. And I talked about the Star Treaty on April 8th, 2010, how he destroyed our sovereignty by signing the Star Treaty in Prague, Czechoslovakia, with Russian President Medvedev. But you don't want to hear about that. So let's speed up on the pages and go to NASA, where I wrote this. Tell me if you disagree. Tell me if I'm just a right-winger who doesn't really get it. Obama the space cadet. Houston, we have a problem. Here's what I wrote. We know Obama is taking apart America's military infrastructure, and yet this man who has created nothing in his life except absolute chaos, anger, divisiveness, and fear, as well as trillion-dollar deficits, designed to break the backs of the middle class, can't restrain himself from destroying the centerpiece of American technology and accomplishments, the NASA space program. On April 15, 2010, Obama, the space cadet, delivered a speech at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in which he announced his plans to scrap NASA's current space exploration program. He goes to the mecca of space travel and announces with a placid smile on his face that he's about to tear the program apart. Why would he destroy NASA? Don't we already have the best aeronautical program in the world? Well, I won't read you anymore. You can read it on your own. It's in Trickle-Down Tyranny. The other part of it's in Trickle-Up Poverty. It's good writing. It's clear writing. It's factual writing. It is writing based upon the facts, just the facts, ma'am. Remember Reverend Wright's sermon? Not God Bless America. Reverend Wright roared into the young community activist's ears. Not God Bless America. To put it another way, Obama clearly concurs with something his Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton has said, which is God bless the America we are trying to create. I did not make that up. Hillary Rodham Clinton, another Alinsky student, Alinsky the communist teacher, she was a student of Alinsky. She wrote this, God bless the America we are trying to create. And many Democrats don't even understand this. It is beyond belief what is going on in front of my eyes. And the level of ignorance has never been greater. With all the college degrees, the ignorance level is higher than ever. When America consisted mainly of people who graduated high school, the people were far smarter. With this educated group in America today, living in the suburbs and wherever they live, they seem to have come out incapable of independent thinking. So I'm, in a way, sort of the last of the Mohegans. I know that. In many ways, I sound it, too. Maybe I sound like the last of the Mohegans. Shall I shut the lights out when I leave America? Will the last one leaving America please turn the lights off? Is that what you want me to say? It's not a joke. If this man gets reelected, and it's highly likely he will because of the incompetence, the weakness of the Romney campaign, if this man gets reelected, you may as well turn the lights off and leave the country. There will be nothing left after this man's next tour of duty. I can guarantee it. 1-800-449-8255. Care to talk about it? This is the place to do it. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the shuttle. We're talking about the funeral today for our space program. We're talking about Michael Savage's brilliant description of Obama, the Obama doctrine, which says, hands off the communist world, hands off the Islamist world, or live and let die. Do you disagree with anything I've said? If you do, I'm willing to discuss it with you. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, or visit me at michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, well, we're sitting here watching the world go round. We're seeing Obama taking the country apart at the joints. Today, of course, the endeavor being put into a museum and the idiots in the media covering it, of course, but not giving it context. I mean, why is it going to a museum? The whole country should be put into a museum under this communist. So anyway, I have a treat for you on the Savage Nation today. I just made it up in my head. I was going to do it next week, but I'm going to do it in this hour or next. We have an empty chair in the studio today with a blank microphone, and Savage is going to interview Romney's empty chair on the Savage Nation today. That's right. Savage is going to interview Romney's empty chair and blank microphone in the Savage Nation studios today and possibly all of next week before it's stolen by one of the lesser lights in talk radio. But they can't steal it yet since I'm on the air. There's going to be an empty chair in the Savage studio. I will ask the empty chair questions, and you'll hear Romney's no answers. And that will come up shortly on the Savage Nation. I'll make them up on the spot. Now, in fact, wait a minute, I got a better idea. What questions do you want Michael Savage to ask of Romney's empty chair? 1-800-449-8255. What questions do you want me to ask Romney's empty chair? Because you know what the answers are going to be. The answers you're getting right now. It's astounding to me. Why is he going on liberal shows day and night? Why is he appeasing illegal aliens? Why does he go before people who hate him and were never going to vote for him and spit in your face? Do you have any idea why? I know why, because he thinks that you're going to vote for him no matter what he does. He's wrong. I've seen it happen in other elections. When the conservative base is disrespected by a middle-of-the-road country club Republican, they don't come out and vote for him. And that's very bad news for America and very good news for Chicago. Let's take some callers till we get going on the Savage Romney empty chair shtick. Stu in New York on WOR Radio. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to make a comment regarding the closure of the space program and your commentary. Firstly, I'd like to say you have a great show, and I consider you a true patriot, and I consider myself a conservative. I have a degree in political science, and I'm a public defender in Brooklyn. I see the issues from the left and the right. With respect to the space program, Mr. Savage, I think, although you might be right-wing, you're on the wrong wing with that issue. And I think you're on the wrong wing because the space program needs to be privatized. Profit has to be brought into the space program. There has to be a financial incentive as well as a technological incentive to continue sending spacecraft up. Big government is not the answer for the space program.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, let's take your logic for a moment, because I've heard this argument before, and let's discuss it for a moment. By your thinking, it should be based upon profit only, correct? Profit and loss?
Well, not profit only. It should be profit. There should be an incentive for profit.
Well, by your reasoning, Mr. Public Defender, shouldn't we then privatize the U.S. military and give it out to the lowest bidder, let the Chinese run our military? After all, they don't require a lot of money. The Chinese will work for very little food. You don't have to have any ethnic foods for them, any ethnic training. Why don't we just get rid of our military and hire the Chinese military as our Hessians?
Because I think you're mixing apples with oranges. I don't think defense and space exploration are done for the same reasons.
Well, hold on. Let's take that apart for the moment. Not done for the same reason? You mean the Chinese are investing billions into space exploration for peaceful reasons, not to gain dominance over us?
No, I can't talk about what the Chinese incentive is for their own space program. I can tell you that with respect to big government and conservative values, I don't think big government should be forever the sole...
Well, you see, what you're doing is you're parsing the question. You're being a very, very good lawyer, but you're not using logic here at all. You know the Chinese are investing billions, if not trillions, into space exploration so they can dominate space. Because Obama has created the Obama Doctrine not only on the globe, but in space as well. He has said, we will not compete with you. He has Leon Panetta in China saying, we will let you grow. We don't care. We're not going to compete with you. So you're wrong. They are trying to dominate space. And once they do, we will be a vassal state of China. How much worse does it have to get? And then as far as your first argument goes, I've heard it before, which is let's privatize it. That's a conservative idea. Let's not use big government. Well, by the same token, why not throw away the U.S. Navy? Let the Chinese run our Navy as well. And you say one has nothing to do with the other. But you're wrong, my friend. NASA, space exploration, and our military are all one and the same. They're not separated. Obama separated them in order to carve them up.
Well, when you put it that way, there are defense-related issues with space. And I agree that the Chinese and their motives are probably to gain a technical edge with respect to spy satellites and surveillance and early warning and so forth. But to the extent that space exploration and exploration of the moon and Mars is for peaceful purposes, I think that should be privatized. I think that companies should go up there to obtain resources, whatever minerals are up there, et cetera, et cetera. I think we are mixing apples with oranges. From a defense perspective, you have a point. We should not be giving up our technical edge by walking away from the space program. So there should be some government participation.
Well, wait, even your local newspaper, the New York Times, a liberal newspaper, wrote this. Even a reporter for the New York Times was left scratching his head about Obama's decision back in 2010 when he decided to do this. And here's what he wrote, and I have it in my book. I have all my facts in front of me, which you as a lawyer understand the facts are important. Here's what he wrote, liberal New York Times. In place of the moon mission, Mr. Obama's vision offers, at least initially, nothing in terms of human exploration of the solar system. What the administration calls a bold new initiative does not spell out a next destination or timetable for getting there. Okay, so that was a mild, middle-of-the-road criticism. But what did an astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, and Eugene Cernan, the last to set foot on the rocky soil of the moon, say? Here's what they said about the impact of Obama's plan. Quote, the USA is far too likely to be on a long downhill slide to mediocrity. America must decide if it wishes to remain a leader in space. What would you say to that?
Men and innovators like Mr. Rutan out in California that's producing spacecraft that do go up into outer space. We do have a fledgling privatized space program right now. I would hope that the government continues to fund them to a greater degree and support them. And I agree with you from a defense perspective that we need to maintain a technical edge so that the Chinese don't take out our satellites or gain a technical edge with respect
but to... But how do you feel about our nation proposing that the USA buy tickets on a Russian rocket to get our astronauts and cargo into space? How do you feel about the fact that he has authorized the purchase of 6 seats a year on Russia's Soyuz spacecraft at $56 million per seat for however long it takes for the private sector to build a replacement? So there's big government at work. At the same time you're saying that he did this to save money, he isn't saving very much money when he's paying nearly $60 million a seat to get our astronauts to the moon. So there's more to it than meets the eye, isn't there?
The public needs to know that there are private entrepreneurs like Mr. Rutan.
And by the way, since Russia will be providing the ride, they get to dictate the terms of what our astronauts can and cannot do, how much gear they're permitted to bring, how much they are able to bring back from these missions. And by the way, my friend, Obama gets the trump card. He lets Russia eavesdrop on the activities of our astronauts. Doesn't that bother you?
It absolutely does. I'm hoping that our fledgling...
All right, well, I think you've stimulated conversation. I've heard the argument before, but I've never answered it as excellently as I just did. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll throw this back to the audience, particularly the audience of ex-NASA engineers in Houston, Texas, one of my largest affiliates. What arguments would you make arguing that NASA should be government-run and that if Mitt Romney gets office behind and wins, he should reinstitute the NASA space shuttle program? I'd like to hear it. Maybe the audience will learn something from it. 1-800-449-8255. Again, later on in this hour, actually next hour, Michael Savage has Romney's empty chair sitting here in the studio, and I will be interviewing Mitt Romney's empty chair with questions, and you'll get the answers that, well, you won't get the answers because I'm using Clint Eastwood's technique of the empty chair, because that's what we have now, which is an empty suit and an empty microphone. Okay? That's it. Sacramento, Marcus, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, senor? I just want to let you know that I just sometimes don't know what's going on with the space program and why someone who led the program for so long died and no one even gave him even a cracker for his funeral.
No, you're talking about who?
Neil Armstrong.
Well, he was given a state funeral, not as big, of course, a presentation as a rapper at the White House, but they gave him a little cracker rapper.
Crap. All we got was crap.
Well, that's right. You can't expect Obama to give an old white man like Neil Armstrong a great goodbye. Yeah, he saves that for the rappers that come to the White House. He raps them in the White House, et cetera. Let's leave it at that. I'd like to do a psychological analysis of Obama that I've not yet done, and I don't think I have the time to develop it with everything else I want to do today, which is, it's a very, very delicate topic. And I don't know that America's ready for this discussion, but it's something that has to be discussed. And that is, we're told that Obama is our first black president. Well, isn't he also of Caucasian parentage? Wasn't his mother a Caucasian? So if his father was African and his mother was Caucasian, does that not make him of mixed race? Yes. Okay, but he identifies with one side of his parentage only, not the other. And he seems to have rejected the Caucasian side of his inheritance. And that is a very important psychological discussion that should be had at some future date by someone outside of talk radio, because this is too risky a topic for the skittish individuals in the radio industry. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the death of the moon mission by Obama, the retirement of the Endeavor shuttle to a museum, and the lack of any discussion of this. There's another topic that's worthy of discussion. It just came out. White House silent over demands to Israel. You know what happened in the Muslim world and how Obama kept saying it was because of an anti-Muhammad YouTube video, right? Well, how about an anti-Christian piece of garbage of a, I can't even describe what it is. It's basically crucifix dipped in the urine of a so-called artist. I've been sickened by this for years now, but it's coming to New York City. It was funded by the National Endowment for the Filth. And the art gallery that's hosting it in Manhattan doesn't expect anyone to burn the gallery down. After all, Christians don't do those things. We are a tolerant nation. And as some people have said, we demand that the government's artwork the same way that they denounced the anti-Muhammad film. Now, of course, you know you're not going to get any such response from a man who, although he claims to be a Christian, many feel is not really a Christian. Many feel his sympathies are that of the Islamic faith. There's no way to know what the man really believes. I personally think he's an atheist. That's my personal feeling. I think most politicians that I have seen, the top people, have no belief whatsoever other than in power and absolute power and the corruption thereof. But the fact is, why are they bringing to New York City, where millions of Catholics live? Why are they doing this? Well, Mr. Donahue of the Catholic League says this. He said the Obama administration has a double standard when it comes to incidents that might offend the Christian community. It seems like we have a protected class for Muslims, as well as some other segments of our population. But when it comes to Christians, it's an all-out war. There's no question about that. It is. There's no question about that. Mr. Perkins of the Family Research Council said this. He said the lack of response from the provide an unintentional recognition. He says it's a recognition of the contrast between Christianity and Islam. You don't have to plead with Christians not to riot and burn and storm buildings simply because they are offended. That's the difference. That's why Christianity moves nations forward. Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Well said. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I'm outraged. There's another thing I'm outraged about. Your friend, Barack Obama, who brought the Islamists to power in Egypt and in Libya and in all of the other nations experiencing the revolutions across the Arab Crescent, Egypt just closed the last synagogue in Cairo. Now, that should be of concern who are presidents of various and sundry Jewish organizations, but not a peep came out of one mouth about the closing of the last synagogue in Egypt. Not one word from Rabbi Chaya. Rabbi Chaya, who I begged to intervene on my behalf with England, he did nothing. He wouldn't even answer my letter, Rabbi Chaya opinion. Where is the very, very big-mouthed Anti-Defamation League? Another group of said nothing when Michael Savage was banned in England and are saying nothing that the last synagogue in Egypt is being closed. Why? They're all owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Democrat machine, in my humble opinion. And if they want to prove me wrong, they can come on this show and argue with me. But that's not how those groups work. They work behind the scenes. They work quietly. They work diplomatically to make certain that my ideas are not heard anywhere but on this show. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about on the Savage Nation. We're running out of time. In the next hour, Savage interviews Romney's empty chair right here on this show. We'll ask the empty chair some questions, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the answers. Okay? You want to take on any of these topics? You know the phone number, right? Texas, Paul, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
I'm just called to talk about NASA.
Go ahead quickly. Tell us what's on your mind.
It inspired me to get involved with engineering, and I've been doing it for over 40 years.
Well, you see, you're one of the greatest generation in the country has ever seen. And when I see pictures of all of the NASA engineers who put that man on the moon, Neil Armstrong, I tell you, I get chills up my spine. They sat in white shirts with short haircuts, smoking, if you can believe it, while working because it calmed their nerves. They didn't have Big Sister hanging over their head with workplace rules that destroyed the workplace itself. I love watching those old videos of NASA in those days. But you have to understand that with Obama in the White House, we are going to see people inspired not to become engineers like yourself, but you're going to see millions of youngsters wanting to become communist community organizers. That's the important thing. Do you know how many young Americans now want to be like the president, communist community organizers? That's the good news. If this keeps up, why, anything is possible, including the fact that we'll all be living in a future sort of Cuba. We could all be playing backgammon and driving 58 Buicks, which wouldn't be such a bad deal, actually. 58 was a good Buick, incidentally. New York, WOR, Ken, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm talking about Mitt Romney's tax returns. He put them out. He paid a ton of money. Now the credibility of Harry Reid now needs to be called into question. This man.
Well, let me tell you something. Romney made a mistake by putting them out at all. Well, he's playing, again, defense, catch-up. I'm sorry, here I am. He has no idea how to attack. That's Romney's biggest weakness, as he can't attack. Do you know that? Romney does not have the genetic material for attacking anybody. And the reason is because he's too good a man. He is too good a man. He is too kind a man. And if I may say it, he's too Christian a man. He's been gelded by his own belief system. Thank you for the call. And that's why he might lose. And by the way, you want me to go to the next step? If he won, I'm still worried about him because I don't think he has the guts to fight the Democrats or the Chinese or the Russians or the Islamists. I have a feeling that he'd appease all of them just like Obama did. And we're just going to get more of the same. That's what really worries me. I know you don't want to hear it. You want to hear Romney great, Obama bad. It's very, very hard for me to say that. It's very difficult for me to say that. Will I still vote for Romney? Yes, I will. Why will I vote for Romney? Because it's anybody but this disaster, this divisive disaster that we have in America today. I'll take my chances on a decent Romney over what we have in the White House today. I am sick of seeing rap stars walking around my White House. It makes me nauseous.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I pray that most of America doesn't have PTSD come the day after the election. I don't know what's going to happen if the divider-in-chief wins again. I think America is going to have to be treated for PTSD symptoms. But in this hour in the Savage Nation, I don't think we're going to talk about the death of NASA anymore. We've done that in the first hour. And seeing the Endeavor this morning as I did, going by, I was like watching a funeral. However, the press being useless in America today, they didn't even talk about the context of why would Obama have killed NASA? Why was the Endeavor flying over for its last voyage? None of that was discussed by the worthless media in the San Francisco Bay Area. They feel that the people don't even deserve to know why NASA was killed by Obama, because that's liable to raise some uncomfortable questions about the agenda, and you can't raise questions like that. On the other side of the quotient, we have a candidate who is tepid, not really running. He seems to sit there and take a beating, and all he does is play catch-up and defense, and now he releases tax returns. The biggest mistake he's ever made is now releasing them. Even though he paid an aggregate of 20%, that's not going to be enough for the commies. They'll say, well, the average person pays more. He should have paid more. So, again, he fell into their trap. He doesn't know what he's doing. His campaign advisors are undermining him on purpose, in my estimation. But you don't want to believe me when I tell you that some of his chief advisors voted for Obama. You don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe that a campaign could be set up to fall. You want to believe that this is a fair and equitable campaign, but you don't understand that it may not be. And so for your listening entertainment on this Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation, I have for you a interview with Mitt Romney. It's live. And there's an empty chair in the studio for Mr. Romney. And the reason there's an empty chair is because there's an empty chair. Mr. Romney chooses to go on shows that hate him, set him up, put him down, make him uncomfortable. I don't have to repeat the names of these shows because you know what they are. And what really got my goat is these ads that the Republicans are running on every cable channel. Attention Tea Party activists and American patriots. Obama's outspending us. He went up 5% since the DNC. Attention Tea Party activists and patriots. Send us your money to the RNC. Puke. I'll send you nothing. What do you mean send you money for what? What do you stand for? Winning? That's all you stand for? Why don't you tell us what you stand for? Say you stand for something, Mr. Romney, then maybe you wouldn't have to beg us for the money. That's what I'd like to say. And so here's my first question to Mr. Romney, sitting here in the empty chair, and here it is. Mr. Romney, why are you running such a weak campaign and not attacking Barack Obama? Okay, I understand that's your answer. Now, my listeners out there in the Savage Nation, if you have a question for the empty chair in which Romney is not sitting here on the Savage Nation, you can call in your question to the empty suit or the empty chair at 1-800-449-8255. We've got quite a few of them. And let's begin in Sacramento, California on KSTE. Peter, what's your question for the empty chair?
Michael, 13 years ago, you made me a loyal listener with three words: borders, language, and culture. This retirement of the Endeavor is the September 11th on our culture. And I want to know what Mitt Romney is going to do to reinstate our culture.
Okay, you're asking Mitt Romney, what are you going to do to restore America's pride? Mr. Romney, any answer? Well, there's your answer. I hope that satisfies your question. Be sure to send money to the Romney campaign. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Stephen, what's your question for the empty chair?
Dr. Savage, I'd like to know if Romney considers Obama to be a clear and present danger to this country, making a concerted effort to dismantle the U.S., or is he just incompetent, naive, and misguided?
Mr. Romney, what's your answer to that question? You know, it's not bad. It's working so far. It was made up on the spot. Beowulf said, come on. I said, I'm going to interview the empty chair. I said, what can we run when I ask the question? He said, how about a dial tone? Doug came up with a dial tone. What other sound bite can we use, Beowulf? Do we have anything else for the answers? Well, let's see. What are we getting from the candidate-in-chief here, Mitt Romney? We're getting nothing. We're getting a dial tone. Every time you've called his campaign to ask him to come on the show, you basically get a dial tone. So let's keep it up. Here's another one. Pablo in Arizona. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your question for Mitt Romney?
Yes, Governor Romney, I'm wondering why you were so strong and getting funds in saying you didn't need the 47%. There's no way you could get them. Why are you chasing them now and making yourself weak?
Oh, is that a good question? He said to the rich Republicans, I don't need the 47% who are receiving government benefits, and yet he's going on their radio and television shows. Is that your question, Pablo?
Yeah, I see him on Univision. He's getting booed. Why is he going there and getting weak? If you don't need him, why do you need him? Don't go after him. Stay
if
strong.
You can't beat him, why do you... Okay, Mr. Romney, if you can't beat him, why do you need him? Good. Okay, if you have a question for the empty chair in my studio, that is Mr. Romney's empty chair, which I think we're going to run until eventually even he comes to understand he's now become a laughingstock amongst conservatives in America. We've had enough. We're throwing down the gauntlet to Mitt Romney's campaign. We have had enough of your telling us to drop dead because you're going to vote for us. We're not doing it. Maybe they won't vote for you, Romney. Maybe you'll lose in a landslide, Romney, because you're not talking to the people who should be voting for you. And they're not going to vote for you if you keep this up. That's my estimation. Okay, how's that? Now, many of you are going to say, how dare you attack Mitt Romney? He needs every vote he can get. Hey, that's your problem. It's not my problem. I have my way of doing things. Maybe you have your way of doing things. Virginia Beach, Freddie, what's your question for the empty chair that Romney's sitting in?
My question, Dr. Savage, is I want to know how Mr. Romney is going to restore fiscal sanity to the federal government.
Mr. Romney, you inherited a $1 trillion deficit, and your opponent, Mr. Obama, has raised it to $3 or $4 trillion. What would you do the first day that you take office, Mr. Romney? Okay. All right, there's your answer. Okay. Guys, what other sound bites can we use? Does anyone have an answer for anyone out there have any ideas now? Let's get into the production, radio production together. If you're enjoying this Grilla Romney segment with the soundbite of a telephone dial tone, what other sound bites can we use? Beowulf, any other ideas? How about no, I don't think the buzzer will work. Okay, we'll take your calls while I give you the latest news, but we need a laugh right now. And every day, as you well know, I told you I would give you a laugh moment, a moment of laughter. And that, of course, is provided us by Nancy Pelosi. Every time she speaks, we get a belly laugh. So here is your belly laugh for Friday. It's Nancy Pelosi saying President Bush took our economy to the depths of hell. Clip one.
4 years ago on September 18th, we had a meeting in the Speaker's office in the Capitol, bipartisan, bicameral, at which the Secretary of the Treasury described a situation of our economy and our financial institutions that was so dire. He took us to the depths of hell, a place so low that even Dante couldn't find make a circle down there. It was so low, the crisis we were in as a result of the policies of the Bush administration.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. I don't know whether, let's let it go with that. It's a family show, but something's wrong with this picture. How long can they continue to say that it was the anti-Muslim film that caused the riots when the Arab countries themselves are saying it wasn't? How long could they get away with saying it was Bush who did it when they took a $1 trillion deficit and made it a $4 trillion deficit? Now we get another laugh. Here's Congressional Black Caucus Chairman Emanuel Cleaver, on blacks who don't vote when he says they ought to give us their color back. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. This is a black man speaking about blacks. Listen to this.
I become so angry at any African-American who refuses to vote. They are not worth the color if they don't vote. They ought to give us their color back. The African-American credentials need to be snatched.
I wonder what Mr. Cleaver has to say about African-Americans who do vote and are voting Republican. If he thinks that those who don't vote ought to give their color back, and that those who don't vote ought to give back their African-American credentials, I can just imagine what Cleaver says to Pelosi when there's no microphone. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We continue interviewing Mr. Romney's empty chair here on the Savage Nation. Apparently he has time for Univision and for anti-Romney television shows, which he can't seem to get enough of, but he despises Tea Party activists and conservatives, apparently only wanting your money, but he will not come and talk to you or take your question. So Mr. Romney's empty seat is sitting here. The microphone is live. If you have a question for Mitt Romney on the Savage Nation, I'll take it right now. Let's go to New York City, WOR Radio. Marty, what's your question for Mitt Romney's empty microphone?
Mr. Romney, are you afraid to tell the independents in America that the president is a communist, fascist, anti-Semitic person because you're afraid you'll lose their vote? Is that why you're holding back?
Mr. Romney, you heard the question. Please give us your answer. Well, the answer is the crickets. I guess you heard that answer, Marty. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'd like you to answer that question. That's what's making me feel more confident that the hope is that he's holding back for that reason, because we studied this man for 4 years, the president, and when you try to tell someone right out of the blue these conclusions, you sound crazy instead of the president sounding crazy.
That's right. That's how good Obama's brain is. Obama's brain is the most brilliant handler in the history of the presidency. And Obama's team is about 20 times brighter than Romney's team, which is how he gets away with what he gets away with. The worst economy in modern American history, the destruction of our military, the loss of our national pride, the demise of NASA, the end of a foreign policy, the withdrawal of America from the world stage, from the international stage. It's astounding. This would ordinarily cost a sitting president. By now, he'd be behind 20 points in any poll. But these men are so brilliant, and Romney's people are so, I don't know what to say. I don't think they're that stupid. I think they're undermining him on purpose, frankly. I distrust the Republican establishment intuitively. Do you know that, Marty? I distrust the Republican establishment intuitively. I believe they hate conservatives. I know they hate Tea Party members for reality. I believe that the Republican establishment hates the Tea Party as much as the Congressional Black Caucus does. Do you know that?
But let's take your theory. What do we do if he goes at them and
he can't do anything. We can't do anything because we don't have... What do you mean if he goes at them? I mean, if he says anything, you think he'll alienate voters? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's the theory that I have. That's the only reason why I could rationalize holding back, calling the president what he is, a communist.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I got it. You're not actually asking a question. You're saying the reason Romney is being such a patsy is because he fears that if he says it like it is, the voters will be afraid of him.
Who are ignorant, basically.
Well, who are the independents? Marty, are you an independent?
What?
Are you an independent?
Hell no. I'm trying to save America.
Keep All right, going. So how do you define yourself, then, as a conservative patriot?
Yes.
Okay. So the independents are not conservatives. They're not patriots. What are they?
They're people who haven't studied it every day for the last 3.5 years. So you take somebody who is basically unfamiliar with the situation, and you've got to back up to where you might have been 4 years ago. And somebody tells you your president is a communist fascist, which is the truth, but you think that the person who's telling you that is a nut.
Right. Well, you can't say he's a communist fascist. You have to say to him, if you're debating him, you have to say, Mr. Obama, why did you pass in the middle of the night on New Year's Eve the NDAA, which gives the military the power to round up any citizen off the streets? I would ask that question. I wouldn't care what the moderators asked me. I would smile. I would do a Reagan-esque and say, I would ask Mr. Obama why he passed the NDAA in the middle of the night. That's what I would do. Don't you think that would do it with a smile? Yes. Well, I do. Why am I asking you what you think? That's what I think. Pakistan explodes in protest, 17 killed. But you have to see this in context, that the Pakistani Islamists only killed 17 is a good sign from the Obama point of view. Because if the Islamists were really as dangerous as many of you right-wing nuts think, the Day of Love, where only 17 died in Pakistan, would have been much worse. It could have been 80, it could have been 200, or even worse than that. So you have to see it in context. And therefore, Obama's Arab Spring is actually working. That only 17 died in Pakistan and only one ambassador in Libya is a good sign. It's a healthy sign. Think of how few lives were lost. You see, you're not seeing it in the context. I don't know if I like the crickets as much as I like the dial tone. Let's go back to the dial tone. New York Pete, question for Mitt Romney's empty chair. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Governor, I'd like to know, when do you plan on taking the gloves off?
Okay, Mr. Romney, you're on. You're sitting here at the Savage Nation. You're in the empty chair. Mr. Romney, when do you intend to take your gloves off? Pete, does that answer your question?
That answers it. Thank you very much,
Doctor. See, at least I got a chuckle out of you. Hey, look, if I can't turn a lemon into lemonade, I don't know what I can do. I mean, we got to laugh about this. We have a disaster in the White House, and Mr. Rogers on the Republican side, does that work for you? He's like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Hello, boys and girls. I'm Mitt Romney, and I'm on your side. How are you today? How are you all? Mr. Obama is a nice man. We just disagree in terms of economic philosophy. Are we feeling good out there? Because Ann and I would like you to understand that if we run America, and as you know today, there's no such thing as a president per se, it's a partnership. And we're asking you to vote for Ann as much as you are for me, because in the new age, a man could be a pocketbook carrier and still be a decent president. Ann and I are very happily married, and we have a vision for America. We don't know what it is, but we have a vision for America, and we hope you'll join us.
Savage.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Drive your gas guzzler while you still can. Grill a burger, go to jail. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Use your barbecues, your fireplaces, and your Cadillacs while you still can, before we're all driving Chevrolet Volts and wearing blue suits with little red stars on our hat. Welcome to the Savage Program. We continue now with our empty chair interview of Mitt Romney, who apparently can't seem to get enough of Univision. I would say that 1% of the audience will vote for him. The View, I would say less than 1% would vote for him. Zero, less than 1% of any station he's ever been on. And yet he says to you, the Tea Party can't. I don't know who listens to this show. It's hard to say. With an audience that is so vast, it's very hard to say who really listens and what their affiliation is. I had known him when I was a local host that a good percentage of my listeners were actually Democrat liberals, but they were so bored of not hearing the other side that when they heard someone come along who had an actual great education and a background and this and that, they started to listen to me to bounce ideas off my head. So I don't really know. But we continue now with Savage interview of Romney's empty chair. I'm calling him now affectionately the cryogenic candidate. Mitt Romney, the cryogenic candidate, for those of you who even know what the word means. I realize that we conservatives are not allowed to use more than two syllables at a time without permission from the higher powers, but we're going to try cryogenic. Look it up. If you have a question, let's hear it on the Savage Nation. Sacramento, California. Tony, what's your question for Mr. Mitt Romney?
I'd like to ask the good governor. He was so savage in dismantling Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum during the primaries. Where is it now? Why can't he bring on the savagery? No pun intended.
Okay, Mr. Romney, you're on. Here's your question. I'm addressing this to Romney's empty chair here on the Savage Nation. Mr. Romney, why are you incapable of attacking Obama, given that you attacked Newt Gingrich and Santorum so viciously? Go ahead, please. Well, there's your answer. I think that the governor must have visited a Taco Bell or something along the lines in order to see if he can win another vote here and there. Let's go to the next caller. Gloria in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Romney, Governor Romney, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you have the nerve to ask Obama why he has Hillary Clinton negotiating with foreign countries to tally our vote? I don't remember giving up my sovereignty.
Mr. Romney, as you may not know, Michael Savage divulged on this program several months ago that an organization, a company, a socialist-owned company in Spain, actually tallies the votes for America. What do you have to say? Did you know that, Mr. Romney? You have any idea about that? Mr. Romney, go ahead, please. Well, I guess that was news to the governor. I guess he himself didn't know that, Gloria. I'm sorry that it seems to be making him ill, these questions, but we're going to continue to go. Let's go to the next question for Mr. Romney on the Savage Nation. Tampa, Florida. Vince, what's your question for the empty seat that Mr. Romney is sitting in?
Hi, Mr. Romney. How you doing? I'd just like to ask you, if President Obama is such a nice and gregarious man, why did he unlawfully bike past Congress and purchase 450 million steel-coated hollow point 357 and 40 caliber bullets for his government agencies to be used for domestic purposes? Thank
Mr. Romney, Mr. Romney, would you please answer Mr. Vince from Tampa, Florida? Go ahead, please. I think of all the sound answers, Vince, that actually says it all, don't you? Oh, that's an actual hang-up. I realize that this is juvenile, and I shouldn't be juvenile in a political arena, but you know what? I've had enough of Romney. I'm not taking it anymore. You say I'm angry at Obama for what he's done to America. I am. But I'm actually just as angry at the Republicans for taking the conservative vote for granted. Hell no, we won't go. I'm warning you, you're going to lose by 8 points if you keep this up. It's not just Michael Savage's show that he won't go on. I don't think you understand this. Romney despises conservatives. I was told this from insiders. I was told he doesn't like Tea Party members. He looks upon you with derision. You know what? My gloves are off. I don't really care what you think of me. If you think that I'm a fan of big Republicans, you're mistaken. I am not a Republican. I have never been a Republican. I've been an independent since I began in radio in 1994. And as far as I'm concerned, Romney is the most tepid candidate of all. I'm stuck with him, yes. It doesn't mean I have to like him, and it doesn't mean I have to support him. And I'm not supporting him. How's that? How's that? How's that, my friends? So we've done our job here. One last question for Mr. Romney, and I'm going to go to all of the news that I've not yet gotten to on the, let's see what's on the Fox News website, just for the heck of it. Hookergate gets closer to the White House. Nonsense, that'll go nowhere. That's another waste of time, like Fast and Furious, which the Republicans made a big deal of, and of course it's over, and it didn't stick to Obama, and it didn't cost them one vote. The Middle East went up in flames. Obama came up and said he was going to track down those responsible. Nobody has been arrested. Nobody ever will be arrested. You know and I know the FBI was sent there to make sure there was no evidence whatsoever. Just as, remember Solyndra? Remember the Solyndra scandal when the FBI went in the next day and gathered all their records? And I said on this show, wow, that's great. The FBI's going in. At least maybe we'll find out who robbed what, the $500 million. Remember what a caller said to me? You know what the answer was? No, the FBI is going in to make sure that the evidence is gathered up so nobody could ever find out who robbed the money. I was shocked when I heard that. Shocked, I tell you. Absolutely shocked. Here's a big story from Murdoch's website. Florida police hunt for missing strip club dancer. I guess that's headline news. Let's see what else is. Romney taxes reveal 13.5% to charity, 20% rate. Good for him. I don't want to talk about it. I don't know what he stands for other than the fact that he gives a lot of money to charity, which is wonderful. I think that's great. I mean, I need to increase my charitable giving, and I'm going to give to the to the Elephant Fund. I'm going to give for protecting the gorillas. We're going to hire anti-poaching squads. I do what I can for, you don't know what I mean, once in a while I don't talk about, forget about it. Police get in trouble, I send money and that, so I don't ask for anything from it. A New York man falls into Bronx Zoo tiger den, loses leg. GOP keeps up legal fight in wake of furious report. That's over, dead. That's a year now of Daryl Issa wasting our time with the Fast and Furious investigation. It didn't cost the Democrats one vote. House Ethics Committee, that's a joke, it's a kangaroo court, finds no violations committed by Dem Rep Maxine Waters in husband's relationship with bank. No kidding. The House Ethics Committee is the equivalent of the Human Rights Commission in the United Nations. Brown-Warren trade blows in U.S. Senate race debate. She's the fake Indian. Brown rips Warren over Native American claims. See, now this is a good example. They had the first debate in Boston, in Massachusetts, right? Scott Brown is a middle-of-the-road Republican, at least showed the guts of a blue-collar American. When he ripped into Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren with her fake claims of being a Native American. And he did it on the stage. And you know Obama's not, excuse me, you know that Romney's not going to have the guts or the brains to do that to Obama. Let me read it to you. Republican incumbent, U.S. Senator Scott Brown and Democratic rival Elizabeth Warren sparred on tax policy, Iran's nuke ambition, blah, 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 and Warren's claim of Native American heritage during their first debate in Massachusetts, closely watched Senate race. Brown began the debate by saying Warren, quote, checked the box claiming she is Native American, and clearly she is not. Brown called on Warren, a professor at Harvard Law School, to release records related to her hiring at the school to show whether she got an unfair advantage. We know she did. You know how many people in this country have used affirmative action and false claims of minority status to get where they are? Brown said, I think character is important. Now, here's what Warren said in response. Listen to her, the lying Harvard professor. Warren said that her parents told her growing up that her mother was part Cherokee and part Delaware Indian, and that as a child she never questioned that story. Oh, really? But she used a rumor to enter Harvard, is that right? Okay. And then she said, this is about family, I can't and I won't change who I am. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means nothing. So Brown at least has come out firing. I don't think Romney's capable of it. And so we'll see what happens. Polls show a close contest. The race is already the most expensive campaign in Massachusetts political history. As you should know that Warren is one of the most radical feminist professors in American history. She's at Harvard. What more need I say? Harvard has produced some of the worst people in American modern American history, including many in the presidential arena. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Let me read you the question. Well, I think we've finished that skit. Savage interviewing Romney's empty chair, or you want some more from the cryogenic candidate? Would you like a few more questions for the cryogenic Romney? I think we can find Romney a few more questions on the Savage Nation. I think they're all replacing each other now, by the way. Here we go. Chris in Nevada, you're on the air. What would you like to ask the empty chair of Mr. Romney?
Well, after witnessing firsthand the funeral procession of our space program today, I'd like to ask Mr. Romney if he would take NASA off of their current reassignment of Muslim outreach and put them back on space exploration.
You know, let me say, you remember what Obama's head of NASA said that they put in there? The guy said that Muslims contributed to the development of space knowledge. Did you remember that? They invented things about Muslim Americans that never existed.
I
remember it. It's been one of the most shocking experiences of my life to live through these lies. Romney tax release appears to undercut Democratic charges, which is true. Harry Reid has suddenly dummied up and said nothing. Remember Harry Reid said, make a day, release your 2011 tax returns? Well, he did. So Reid has not been heard from ever since. He is somewhere other than on a microphone. Clinton denounces violent anti-film protests in Pakistan. Okay, yeah, she's still talking about the film. Defying Obama, House passes bundle of bills to boost coal. You see, the first thing I would do if I were Romney, well, there's many first things I would do. One of the things I would say is, Mr. President, why did you kill the pipeline, the oil pipeline from Canada? That could sink. That could sink Obama's campaign. I mean, isn't that a no-brainer? I would say even the dumbest food stamp recipient in America could understand that question. Mr. President, with a smile now, why did you kill the oil pipeline from Canada? End of story. He would squirm. Now ask yourself why Romney's not hitting that very hard. Do you know the answer to that, by the way, folks listening to the Savage Nation? Do you know why Canada offered us hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil on a regular basis if we would let them build a pipeline from Canada to the U.S. and we could undercut the Arabian blackmailers? Oil prices would go down. Gas prices would go down. Do you know why Obama blocked the Keystone XL pipeline? Because one of his biggest donors, one of the greatest fraudsters, in my opinion, in history, Warren Buffett, who plays the nice little man who drives an old Buick and lives in a three-bedroom, two-bath clapboard house, one of the greatest fakers in history. He's better than Big Chin Gigante. Warren Buffett is one of the... I would say that Warren Buffett has pulled off the act better than Big Chin Gigante did. While Big Chin Gigante pretended he was senile and walked around the streets of Greenwich Village and Little Italy in a bathrobe, Warren Buffett walks around like a little quiet Midwestern guy, you know, aw shucks, old car, little house. The man flies around in a fleet of private jets. He is one of the richest men on earth. But the big thing here is, why did Obama block the oil pipeline from Canada? It's because Buffett owns the railway company that brings the oil from Canada on railway, on his cars, on railway cars. You didn't know that. Now, why doesn't Romney tell you that? Why is it in none of his ads? I mean, we all care about the price of gas. I filled up my tank the other day. It's about five, almost $4.80 a gallon here, so $4.75 here in the Bay Area. It cost me like $79 to fill a tank of gas. I'm not a poor man. I can afford it. But I looked at it. I said, I can't believe it. I cannot believe what an average working man must be going through in this country today, paying these kind of prices for gasoline. And who did it to us? Obama. Vulnerable. One of the greatest vulnerabilities. And where is the empty chair on it? Let's hear the soundbite. That's your answer. Then we'll go to break. Mr. Romney? Okay. It is the Savage Nation. We've had a little fun today interviewing Mr. Romney here with the empty chair. Thanks, Clint Eastwood, for a brilliant suggestion. The cryogenic candidate, of course, was not in the studio. And I know many of you called in because you are absolutely embarrassed by his, I don't know what to say, his lack of guts, his inability to fight, his unwillingness to say it like it is, his pacifism, his nice guyness. I don't know what to say. We're all looking for, I don't know, we're looking for Patton. We'd like General Patton running for office, running against Obama, who would wipe the floor with the lies. Instead, we're getting Patton leather. As I wrote in one of my books five, 6 books ago, we need more Patton and less Patton leather. And that said it all. You know what I'm saying? So this morning it started out with me watching the shuttle go by, the Endeavor. It was stunning, by the way. I could not believe it. Let me paint the picture for you. It was cool, breeze coming off the bay. I was standing in the North Bay of California, San Francisco, and we were told it would be around 9:30 when it came in from Edwards Air Force. Well, I don't know where it came from, truthfully, Sacramento somewhere. And coming in over the East Bay Hills or going over the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, it came out of the East Bay over one of the mountains, and there was this little speck with something on top of it. And as it got closer coming in over the Richmond Bridge, it's the Richmond San Rafael Bridge, it was shocking to see the Endeavor right in front of my eyes. It was flying real low. And then it proceeded west toward the ocean. It flew over Ring Mountain. It was as though it was going to land on top of this little mountain. And then it proceeded over San Francisco. It was a stunning sight, but it was a funeral. It was a funeral for our moon program. And I was standing out on this point with my son and a couple of guys that we ran into from Comcast, all of whom, by the way, listen to the show. Thanks, guys, for telling me that. Standing on the rocky gravel of this point. And I don't know, I started, they didn't know who I was. And I said, you know, I grew up at a time, I go back to when Sputnik was launched by the Russians and how it shocked America that we had been caught with our pants down. And then we got into the space race and we succeeded and America became number one. And I was proud to be an American. And I say, look what I've lived through. We've gone from having been caught with our pants down to a president who's basically pulled our pants down. He has fundamentally embarrassed us because of this man's lopsided policies, inexperience, college idiocy. I don't know what to say. You could go all the way down the line to he's doing it on purpose. The Arab world blew up in flames. The last synagogue in Cairo has been closed down by his friends, the Islamists, in Egypt. Let me make it very blunt for those of you of the Jewish faith. The Egyptian government put in place by your friend Obama, supported by Jews to the 90th percentile, was closed down in Egypt. As a wise Jew once said, why is it that my people are so smart in business, in science, in medicine, in the law, and so idiotic when it comes to survival? I said, I never heard it before, but I have no answer for you. Let's go around the world. Panetta, defense secretary, in China, kowtows to the Chinese PLA, People's Liberation Army, and says, don't worry, we won't try to contain you. In other words, you keep your expansionist mechanisms going. You keep fighting with China, with Japan, Taiwan, doesn't matter. We're not going to defend anybody. Do what you want. That's our new posture. So this is a very difficult thing for a human being, a man like me who's lived through so much, to believe. And as I pointed out, that when I went to high school, I had to study history like all of you did. And one of the things that stuck in my mind was the Monroe Doctrine. I had to know it for my Regents exam. Monroe Doctrine, what did it say? The Western Hemisphere is off limits to you Europeans. We control it. You don't enter it. Don't meddle in North or South America. That was the Monroe Doctrine. It was tough. We've gone from the Monroe Doctrine to the Obama Doctrine. The Obama Doctrine is hands off the Islamist world, hands off communist China. In other words, live and let die. We've gone full circle. If we had a candidate like me who could speak like me and talk like me and look like Romney, he'd be ahead 40 points. But lucky for you, I have a face for radio. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'm asking you again, buy Trickle-Down Tyranny this weekend and give it to a liberal friend or an undecided friend before it's too late.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Have to listen to the audio that we've collected for you today on the Savage Nation. If you need a good laugh, it's Friday. We have our laugh line for you. It's Nancy Pelosi, and she's still blaming Bush.
4 years ago on September 18th, we had a meeting in the Speaker's office in the Capitol, bipartisan, bicameral, at which the Secretary of the Treasury described a situation of our economy and our financial institutions that was so dire. He took us to the depths of hell, a place so low that even Dante couldn't find it, make a circle down there. It was so low, the crisis we were in as a result of the policies of the Bush administration.
Here is the little man, Robert Reich. Who is he?
The Reagan recession was very deep, but it is nothing compared to what Barack Obama inherited from George W. Bush. And it's really amazing that we are doing as well as we are doing, given how far and how fast the economy fell in 2008. And it fell on George W. Bush's watch, and it fell because George W. Bush was not watching. I mean, his regulators were not watching Wall Street. George W. Bush himself was not watching his budget.
And here is Obama trying to, let us say, lie to Univision, and they wouldn't let him get away with it. They put him on the spot. Good for them.
I confess I did not expect, and so I'm happy to take responsibility for being naive here, is that Republicans who had previously supported comprehensive immigration reform, my opponent in 2008, who had been a champion of it and who attended these meetings, suddenly would walk away. That's what I did not anticipate. We initiated the meetings, had a series of meetings, and what we could not get was a single Republican, including the 20 who had previously voted for comprehensive immigration reform, to step up and say, we will work with you to make this happen. Even now, you have voices like the former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, who has said that the Republican Party has taken an extreme view, a wrong approach when it comes to immigration reform.
Well, he's not done yet.
Obviously, the fact that we haven't been able to change the tone in Washington is disappointing. Yeah, we know now that as soon as I came into office, you already had meetings among some of our Republican colleagues saying, you know, how do we figure out how to beat the president? You know, I think that I've learned some lessons over the last 4 years. And the most important lesson I've learned is that you can't change Washington from the inside. You can only change it from the outside.
But Romney also spoke to Univision, not to the Savage Nation, but to Univision.
If you're elected president, will you repeal all of Obamacare or just change parts of it?
Well, first of all, I would repeal all of Obamacare and replace it with, I think, the kinds of reforms we really need. And I have experience in health care reform. Now and then the president says I'm the grandfather of Obamacare. I don't think he meant that as a compliment, but I'll take it. This was during my primary. We thought it might not be helpful.
If one of your children, grandchildren, or other relative, any of them were gay and would want to get married, what is your advice for them?
Well, my kids are all married, so I'd be surprised. But I have grandchildren. And I love my children, and I love my grandchildren. And I would, of course, want them to be happy.
And here he is talking tougher on Obama. Great.
The president today threw in the white flag of surrender again. He said he can't change Washington from inside. He can only change it from outside. Well, we're going to give him that chance in November. He's going outside. I I can change Washington. I will change Washington. We'll get the job done from the inside. Republicans and Democrats will come together. He can't do it. His slogan was, yes, we can. His slogan now is, no, I can't. This is time for a new president.
Okay, let's go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Obama falsely claims Bush started Fast and Furious. Oh, is he lying about that too? He was asked about it at the Univision Forum, and he blamed Bush for that? Chapter 2, The Myth of the Rockstar Professor. That would be your president. Only 23% of students said they would repeat his racism course. I guess all of America is now repeating his racism course. Let's hope we don't have to repeat it again. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Obama pressed on failures at Univision Television Forum. Finally, someone asked him tough questions. He couldn't believe it. Hillary Clinton continues to lie about Libya, stonewalling. Meanwhile, the Muslim mobs are going berserk all over the Middle East. Obama nominates mega donor's wife to a UN post, Chaim Sabin, an Israeli-American. I have no idea what the man drinks down there in Beverly Hills. There must be something in the Bordeaux. Slain ambassador said he was on Al-Qaeda hit list, but don't tell that to the president. Michael Savage is number two in shows streamed on the web. Michael Savage is still banned from entering the United Kingdom. Where are my human rights? No one cares. No one cares. Sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter. Really, you can get a daily newsletter for nothing. Wow, what can you get for free today? And for those of you concerned about the sensitivities of Muslims in the Arab world, I mean, after all, you're all sensitive to that, how they feel about the portrayal of their prophet. There is a art exhibit coming back to New York City where a crucifix was dipped in urine by the so-called artist. But since Catholics have been declawed and no longer count in America, there will be no controversy over that. That's art. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, let's see what else. Many of you, by the way, have helped support the family of the fallen CHP officer. Thank you very much. We hear the donations are climbing. Oh, yes. I didn't tell you yet. My forthcoming book, Train Tracks, coming out October 2012. God, that's just around the corner. That is a book of my holiday stories. And if you want to see Mike on his high school rifle team, you can for free. And link there to Amazon and buy the book, and you'll have a wonderful, wonderful book to read after the holidays. After the election. That's what I really meant. When the world will come to an end. Campaign scare, Ann Romney plane makes emergency landing. Thank God she's safe. Cabin filled with smoke. Why wasn't she on a private jet? Is it a private jet? They didn't say. It doesn't say it. The cabin filled with smoke. Let's glad Anna is safe. Iran unveils new anti-aircraft system to target U.S. planes. Gallup poll says Obama 47, Romney 47. Vandals trash New York City deli with anti-Semitic graffiti and urine, but don't pay any attention to that. We wouldn't call it Kristallnacht. Let's call it Pastrami Nacht. Don't pay attention. It's an isolated incident. Just sort of like Libya and Egypt and Algeria and Syria and the Sudan and Yemen and the anti-Semitic incidents in America. Although they keep piling up, they're isolated incidents. You pay no attention to the growing Islamic threat around the world. Because if you do, you're liable to get upset. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Everything, everything, everything. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states. plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Easy to bellyache about all of this, saying, well, okay, Big Shot, what would you do if you were president? I'll make it simple. I'd pull all the troops out of the Middle East. I'd close all the missions in the Middle East. I'd close them down, and I would immediately authorize the Keystone XL pipeline to bring oil in from Canada. How's that for an answer? Does that work for you? Why is Romney not making an issue of the fact that Obama cut off a possibility of massive amounts of oil coming in from Canada? Why? What's wrong with Romney? Well, that's an old story. He's too weak. He is too Christian in the sense of turning the other cheek. He's too passive. He's scared, in other words. He has advisors who are undermining him. He's got people who voted for Obama who are advising him. He's a fall guy for the administration that wants to be reelected. And they picked a patsy to run against. He's like a Joe Palooka bop bag in my day, something you bought that you kept punching, and it never hit back. This was not a group of young people who were angry about a Quran film or about Muhammad. Nothing to do with it. Do you remember that Cairo where our embassy is burning and where an American flag burned? Do you remember what Obama did there? That was the epicenter of Obama's apology tour. Do you remember it? It was right there in Cairo that Obama apologized for steps that American officials took in the Middle East to defend against the Soviets 8 years before Obama was born. It was right there that Obama criticized America's response to 9/11. Do you remember the apology tour? Do you remember what U.S. diplomats in Cairo put out immediately after those buildings started to burn? They said that we're apologizing for those who hurt the religious feelings of Muslims. That's the academic egghead view of the world. Hillary, of course, lied again or got it wrong. It's hard to tell which is which with her. She said the attack in the beginning was the result of a small and savage group. Wrong. No, it's not again the same lie about 9/11. No, it's not a small and savage group. This is Islamist political ideology. This ideology defines terrorist groups from around the world, whether they be the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the Haqqani Network in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the Al-Shabaab in Somalia, the Boko Haram in Nigeria, the Jemaah Islamiyah in Indonesia. They all have the same worldview. They hate America. They hate freedom. They want women in burqas. Do you understand what we're dealing with here? These are Islamists. They're murderers. They're never going to be part of the human family in your lifetime. Never. Most American people know this. Most American people understand this, but the political class doesn't understand this. The political class, both parties, keep referring to these animals as violent extremists, as if they're not part of the tapestry of radical Islam. They are radical Islam. The fact of the matter is, we've done nothing. Nothing. The ambassador was killed. It's an act of war. We did nothing. See, it's a helpless giant again. It's sad. It makes me sick because I'm a product of a long period of time in American history. I've seen many things happen in my lifetime. I'm not a child. Many of you who know my show know I've been on the air 18 years, and you know that I'm a man of a certain age. I may sound more youthful than I am, and I'm probably more youthful than most 30-year-olds. But when I was a little boy, I go back, if you can believe this, now that I think about it, I'm afraid to say it. I was a small child when Harry Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan, which means I was an infant when FDR was president, which means that I grew up in the great age of Dwight D. Eisenhower when we had a war hero as president, as opposed to a community organizer whose last known job was shooting staples and posters into a telephone pole. So I still see the world from the point of view of American triumph and American strength. And I keep trying to hold on to that dream. But then along came the hippie generation. Along came the drug epidemic. Along came the degenerates in the media. who undermine the country's will and mind and heart and soul with LSD and with other drugs like the most dangerous of all, marijuana, which undermine tens of millions of people to becoming sort of like a nutty putty. Don't really care about anything. They just want to feel good. They don't have any identity. They have no identity in sense of... See, these drugs destroy one's ego and therefore destroy one's identity. You know, I've talked about drugs a lot. I've never put it in the context of politics. You say, ah, drugs are bad, but you don't quite understand what I'm talking about. I'll explain it to you right now in a minute or less. What is the drug epidemic in America, which started in the late 50s? Jack Kerouac, et cetera, glorifying On the Road. You know, I loved his writing. But what did it really do to the psyche of America? And what does it have to do with Obama and the Middle East burning and us being a paper tiger? It has a lot to do with it. When a person smokes marijuana, it attacks their ego. It dissolves their ego, which, of course, the liberal credo says it's good to let go of your ego. Well, is it? Is it good to let go of something that defines you? Well, when you let go of your ego and you let go of that which defines you, you also let go of your self-identity. Therefore, you have no identity. Therefore, the nation has no borders. The nation has no identity. And so we have millions, tens of millions of people in this country, most of whom, many of whom work in the Obama administration, who grew up without a self-identity, sort of an amorphous individual, where their own nation didn't exist to them. It wasn't real. There was no border with Mexico. Because they had no borders within themselves. They had no defined limits within themselves. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Okay, so now you're a diplomat. And so therefore your country has no identity. Do you see how it goes from the personal to the political, and how the opposition is like an opportunistic infection, and how these fanatics in the Middle East see us as nothing but weak and they're overrunning us? They're overrunning us where they can, which is in the symbols of our embassies. But make no mistake about it, there are millions of them here in this country, thanks to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, going back to Clinton, bringing in people. I see people walking around here with burkas, and I ask myself, how can this country survive? Now you say, well, that's racist. Well, then the whole country of France is racist. If what I just said is racist to you, then the entire nation of France is a racist country. France is a nation that understood that human rights may be a universal right, but the identity of a nation is equally important to that nation.
Savage.
People in from the 15th century and let them dictate to you how you are going to see yourself in your own society. You don't let people come in and treat women like cattle. You say, no, you can't mutilate your women and cut off their private parts because it's written in some book somewhere. We're not letting you do it. You're going to go to jail. And you're not putting them in costumes from the 15th century, which are not even described in the Quran, incidentally. Many of you are so dumb, you think that burqas are described in the Quran. There's no reference to putting a woman in such a costume in the Quran. You understand any of this? And yet here the liberal says, oh, you're a racist if you don't let them mutilate their women. You're a racist if you don't let them put their women in burqas. Why? Because they have no self-identity. They don't respect themselves, the diplomats now, excuse me, the liberals. They don't have any respect for themselves. They have no knowledge of self. They have no defined edges in themselves. So therefore, the country has no definition. Therefore, there is no American culture. So therefore, every other culture is something they can glom onto. So if it's as extreme as a burqa and genital mutilation, that's good enough for them. So I've given you in 2 minutes or less a tour of the geography of the mind of the, a person without a nation called the American liberal. A person without a nation for whom every nation on earth is better than ours. That's Obama. Another man who really has an identity crisis. You may not know it. You say, how's that possible? He's so smart he became president. He is smart. He's ruthless. He's cunning. But I think he has a very severe identity crisis. I believe he is a product of his anthropology mother, who also had a contempt for America, a deep contempt for America. And it sort of washed off on the sun. And he doesn't see America as exceptional. He doesn't see America as great. His wife, the first lady, said she was not proud of America until they made her husband the president. Then suddenly she was proud to drive an Air Force One and spend as much as she could on travels. But that's a separate story. Under Obama, the Islamists are doing very well. They've taken over Egypt. They're about to take over Syria with all of its chemical weapons. And we've done nothing. Soon we will be leaving Afghanistan. Obama told him that. And so as soon as we leave Afghanistan, what's going to happen then? Hillary doesn't know what's going on. She's engaged in pageantry, apologies, photo ops, dancing with the basket weavers of Samoa. They're all descendants, in essence, of the fraud Margaret Mead. They all read the fraudulent book Coming of Age in Samoa, which is long known among serious anthropologists as a fraudulent view of sexuality in Samoa. And I'm speaking as a professional who knows very, very well what a fraud Margaret Mead was. But Margaret Mead's feminist view of wild and free sex in Samoa was not only an insult to Samoan people who don't behave that way and never behave that way in traditional society, but it created a falsehood for Hillary and Barry, where they have a view of the third world that is not real. And so they think the third world is superior to our world. And now look where we are. The opportunistic infection of radical Islam is spreading like a wildfire through the Middle East or throughout the world. And they continue to bring them in here. Bringing them in more. How many of them do you think are in this country? And do you think Janet Napolitano is watching them or watching you? Who do you think Department of Homeland Security is watching more closely? The radical Islamists who have come into this country, both legally and illegally, or you, a returning war veteran, or you, an anti-abortionist, or you, an anti-huge government individual, or you, a member of a Tea Party. Tell me who you think they're watching. It's Alice in Wonderland. Everything is upside down under Obama. And you don't have to look any further than Libya. Is Libya burning? Yes, Mr. President, it's time to come off the basketball court. Is Libya burning? Yes, Ms. Secretary, it's time to come home from the grass skirt tour in the Cook Islands. Is Cairo burning? Yes, Ms. Secretary, it's time to look somber at a funeral. Yes, Mr. President, you have to leave Las Vegas now. Your fundraiser has to be put on hold, and you have to stand and look serious at the caskets today. You're going to hunt down and bring to justice, blah, 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 doo, doo, blah, blah, and then you can go back to another fundraiser tonight. Don't worry about it. We'll get you home in time to raise money in Connecticut at the home of Harvey Weinstein. And what goes on at this time? I read that, you know how I jokingly say Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg in Hollywood, right? You know how I refer to them in that way. Do you know that one of them just raised $9.9 million for Obama? I forget which one of their names. It's not one of the Bergs. It's another wonderful gentleman from Hollywood who's got more money than God. And has the foolishness to not understand who this man is. I have no idea what their love affair is with Obama. Other than, I guess it's just racism towards Romney. I think that's what it comes down to. It's almost a genetic hatred for Romney. It's not that they love Obama. They have a genetic hatred for Romney. I don't know how else to put it. You know, I'm way past the point in my life and in my professional career where I want to mince any words. I can't mince words anymore. The time is too late. The incompetence level is so great in this country right now, and the idiocy amongst the so-called educated classes has never been greater. I can't talk to anybody anymore. I can't. I can't even talk to the few people I've talked to. I don't have any words left for the average person, even the average intelligent person, the average educated person. I don't have the time for it. I've never seen anything like it. The time is short. I'm the kind of guy who has what used to be called gallows humor. I mean, things are horrible. Do you realize how many incidents are going on around the world, allegedly over a movie? They don't even have YouTube over there. You think these Arab youths, do you think they have YouTube? They don't even know what YouTube is. There's events all over the world now. London, 200 Arab fanatics who should be thrown out of the country are burning USA and Israeli flags. They're not thrown out. I'm not allowed into London. Because I dared say something about Islam. Mauritania, Casablanca, Morocco, Tunisia, Nigeria, Libya, Sudan, Kenya, Somalia, Yemen, Egypt, Sinai, Gaza Strip, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, West Bank, Amman, Damascus, Sidon, Lebanon, Tripoli, Lebanon, Baghdad, Iraq, Kut, Iraq, Basra, Iraq, Kuwait City, Kuwait, Diraz, Bahrain, Doha, Qatar, Karachi, Pakistan, Lahore, Pakistan, Islamabad, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Jalalabad, Afghanistan, Rinaga, India, Kashmir, India, Hyderabad, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Jakarta, Indonesia, The world is burning. These are Obama's friends. Every one of these stops, every major city I just mentioned to you was part of his apology tour. In normal times, this would have been the end of his campaign. Do you know that? Which leads me to a question for the next hour. Do you think, given the media being worthless in America, given the fact that Jeffrey Immelt owns NBC and MSNBC, given the deep connections between the media and the direct the Democrat administration, the D, who give them all sorts of incentives in the form of tax breaks and God knows what else in order to become just outlets for Obama's policies and positions with no criticism permitted. Given that the media is almost wholly owned by the Democrat machine and the pacifism and the weakness of Romney, see, I gave you some qualifier. Do you think that this will mark the end of Obama's campaign? Do you think this will elect Romney? Does Romney simply need to be quiet now in order to win? Think about it. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. So I'm going to talk about that. It's a very important question. How does it affect the election? In normal times, it would be the end of Obama. You know, the campaign's over. Finished. Finished. If we had a strong Republican who got up and dignified, strong, you want to say Reagan, say Reagan. Okay, Eisenhower, you want to go way back, no one knows him anymore. Say a thing like that. That when I'm president, we will not let American ambassadors be killed without killing the enemy. We'll find them and we'll kill them within 24 hours. We'll blow up the training camp. Whatever. Make a statement that lets the world know we're still in, you know, there's still a sheriff in town. That's all he has to say. Show some toughness. But, okay, so given all of these problems, do you think Romney's going to win, though, as a direct result of this? Now, there are rumors that are unconfirmed that this, all of this was sparked not so much by an anti-Muhammad film on the internet, but by the fact that KFC cut back on its the number of wings they were putting into a family box in wherever they burnt the KFC. And we also heard that the Arby's was burned again, unconfirmed, that they burnt the Arby's to the ground because they cut back. They went from a third to a quarter of a pounder. And they didn't serve them pita. They served them white bread. That's what really sparked it and triggered it. It showed cultural insensitivity in that they were serving the hamburgers on buns, white bread buns. How American, as opposed to pita. And, of course, when you cut back on a wing here and a wing there, here a wing, there a wing, everywhere a wing, wing, that's enough to trigger. That sparked everything. I mean, these young men are hungry after all these years of protest. They don't do anything. They don't have jobs. I don't have nothing to do all day but run around with blackberries. Where do they get the blackberries from? And cell phones. I have no jobs. They do nothing. All they do is burn and mutilate, beat up their wives or girlfriends. They have nothing in their life but hate. What do they do all day? What in the world? What are we doing there? Why are we there? Didn't you see Lawrence of Arabia with Peter O'Toole? Haven't you read your history? Haven't you read your poetry? Don't you understand that the Arab mobs have always been Arab mobs? They're not living in this century. They're not living in the last century. They're not living in the 18th century. They didn't go through the Age of Reason. They haven't gone through the Middle Ages. They're living somewhere in the 11th century. What world are you living in? Liberals, please wake up. What has to happen for you to understand that it's time to pull out from the Middle East and let them have it? You say, but we need their oil. No, we don't need their oil. We actually don't need their oil. We don't really need their oil. Open up the Keystone XL pipeline. Start drilling off the coast of California and Alaska. We don't need them. Build new refineries. Pump oil from Mexico. No, we don't need them. We really don't need them at all. It's a myth. Why did Obama block the Keystone pipeline when we're starved for oil? Why is Romney saying nothing about the Keystone pipeline? I mean, that's a given. That's a slam dunk. That's an easy criticism. Why is he saying nothing? Because his advisors voted for Obama. And half of his advisors are still Obama supporters. I'm sick of this. Let me go to break before I say something I really mean.
Savage.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Yeah, know when to walk away. This song is dedicated to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who, if they had any shame, they would have resigned today. But as you well know, politicians, especially liberal politicians, have no shame because they have no reality. Liberalism is a mental disorder. The question today is, what did the burning of the embassies in the Middle East and the Occupy movement have in common? The answer is quite straightforward. Obama and Hillary Clinton, both of whom supported both. Make no mistake about it, these are the friends of Hillary who are setting the Middle East on fire. These are the friends of Barack Obama who are setting the Middle East on fire. These are the people who were liberated by Hillary and Obama. If they had any decency, they would have resigned instead of using the caskets of the dead for political gain. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday. Yay. 1-800-449-8255. But don't fear. America's pride will be saved by Barack as soon as the campaign is over. He said no act of terror will go unpublished. He means, of course, any act of terror by an American citizen. And by an act of terror, he means any criticism of himself. And, of course, he then added this. No act of violence shakes the resolve of the United States of America. Duh. What are the warships doing there? What are the drones for? What are the B-1 bombers for? What is this all about? Answer, nothing. Paper tiger. You see, the American voter is the most naive and the most overeducated and naive voter in the United in the Western world. They know almost nothing about politics. They think D and R, tell them everything they need to know. D good, R bad, or R good, D bad. That's all they need to know. That's their entire lexicon. D R, Obama good, Romney bad. See, the thing is the Europeans know that Obama's a communist, socialist, anarchist. However you want to put it, we know he's not an American, that's for sure. Unless you want to put him in the category of Americans who hate the country, then I would disagree with myself. Berlin, Der Spiegel, significant newspaper, headline, Obama's Middle East policy is in ruins. Everyone knows it except Wolf Blitzer with the fake eyeglasses. Now, the most astonishing thing to me is that the Middle East is burning. This is the Middle East that Obama has created. It's his Arab Frankenstein. Yes, I created the phrase Arab winter. You know that a year ago when I told you about trickle-down tyranny. I told you that would be a key point in it. I told you the Arab spring never existed. I said you cannot have a spring. They have lived in the dark ages so long, you can't jump them to a spring. You can't jump steps. It's like taking an infant and saying, here are the keys to the car. Go drive it. They don't know how to drive a car. They don't even know what a key is. How do they drive the car of democracy if they don't know what a key is? They don't even know where to put the key. They may as well dip it into a popsicle and suck it. So they set the car on fire because they say the American car is no good. They won't admit they don't know how to drive a car because they never learned the first stages of democracy. They have no respect for themselves, no respect for others, no respect for the dignity of man, no respect for women, no respect for any minorities, no respect for any other religion but Islam. How can they have been given the keys to the car of self-governance? It's impossible. And yet, the academic eggheads gave them the keys to the car. And guess what happened? This poor guy, this do-gooder, this nice liberal ambassador was actually on the ship that brought weapons to these revolutionaries. He was one of them. He was like in the Occupy movement. He was a do-gooder, an anthropologist type, who thought the third world is better than anything in the first world, who was sure that people in the Arab world knew more about life and reality than any American could ever know. And so he devoted his life to those in Tunisia and Libya, devoted himself to the boys in tight jeans with Blackberries who excited Anderson Cooper. All of the boys on Tahrir Square who had the tight jeans and the Blackberries. Why, Anderson Cooper was sure, positive, that this represented the real McCoy. Why, it was just like, Berkeley. It was like the free speech movement at Berkeley. And if only they were liberated from the evil Mubarak, why then, I don't know, things would flower in the Middle East. At least that's what they thought, because that's as far as their minds could take them. And of course, as you know, the opposite turned out to be true. So for Obama and Hillary to give a somber tribute and so-called lay them to rest is nauseating. Now, you could argue that this should end Obama's campaign. You could argue that this explosion in the Middle East would end any other president's
campaign. It would be over. The problem is you have a media that is so out of control with regard to its propagandist elements. And the worst, of course, I don't know whether it's a tie between the shill on CNN, who is one of the most despicable people I've ever seen in my life. Wolf Blitzer is in a tie with the More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks channel for more of a slavish worshiper of the failed policies of Obama. Instead of talking about the Middle East burning, they continue to talk with a snicker about Romney, who made some tepid remarks shortly after the explosions. Shortly after the ambassador was killed, Romney muttered something mild. They made him make it sound like he caused the... It's a bigger story to them than the actual Middle East explosions. So you have to ask yourself, I'm trying to explain to you why. How do they get away with it? In other words, how do the lowbrows, how do the throwbacks, how do the pseudos on MSNBC get away with this naked stupidity? You would say, surely there's an adult somewhere around who would say to them, look, guys, you could be a liberal, but show some sense. You could be a liberal, but put things in context, because we have no credibility anywhere in the world anymore. This is not the college anymore. You're no longer on campus. Show some adult. But you wouldn't expect that from Phil Griffin. Here's a man running so scared he doesn't even know where he was yesterday. He doesn't know where he's going to sleep tonight. Why is Phil Griffin, who runs MSNBC, permitting these juveniles to do this on MSNBC? The answer is because his boss is Jeffrey Immelt. Jeffrey Immelt, in my opinion, is the reason that these juveniles continue to do it, is because GE, you see, pays no income taxes on their revenue here in America. You got to remember, this is all about money. So since General Electric doesn't want to pay any income tax, Obama said to them, here, Jeffrey, here's the game. If you use the juveniles and MSNBC to become promoters of me and my policies, and you let them do it around the clock, and they never criticize me, I'll make sure you never pay any income taxes for General Electric. That's my analysis.
Savage.